And welcome to the first Transit Sense podcast with me, Tony Stevenson, the bus operator for the Hamilton Street Railway. And I've got Ken Later, a very good friend of mine, with me this morning. He's been a bus driver with the Hamilton Street Railway in Hamilton, Ontario for 433 years, apparently.
A little less than that.
Yeah, probably. He's been an operator for 33 years. Very good friend of mine. A lot of discussions, and that's the reason why we're doing a podcast today for all our fellow colleagues. So, good morning, Ken.
Morning.
Okay, we're going to start by just going over a little bit of Ken's history and just why he started with the HSO all those years ago and how things have changed from there.
Well, both Tony and I are family men, and at that time we had a child on the way. It was my first boy, but the plant I was working at was closing down. Some of you might remember the Firestone plant. We ride on those tires with our buses. Anyways, the plant was shutting down, and I had to look for work. And I've always loved driving, traveling, being with people. So I knew about three people that worked at HSR as drivers, and I thought, well, you know, I'll give it a shot.
That's the way most people got the job in the first place.
Right,
then
right.
It's because they knew someone, or their grandfather, or their father was a bus driver.
Right. So, well, being committed to try to get the job, because you have a child on the way, you know, you have a secure job, but you don't have a secure job. So I applied, persisted for 3 months, got it, interviewed. The manager at the Hamilton Street Railway said, well, what makes you think that this job's secure? We know the auto industry isn't, but why would the bus company be secure? And I told him, quite frankly, well, you have buses in Russia. So there's always going to be transit systems. So that's why I feel. And he liked the answer. And something I found interesting was when I said to him that I think I could have done better on the written part of the test or interview, he said, don't worry about that. He says, so we really don't know how people will turn out at first. Well, it takes time to see how they adapt to the job. And I had one senior driver tell me once, you know, you change your attitude every 3 years.
Yeah, we was told that. I've worked for the bus industry for a while back home in England and for a couple of years now. And, yeah, your attitude does change.
Yeah. Well, you keep adjusting.
Towards the people. And
well, hopefully it changes for adaptation to be better yourself and to handle things for less stress for yourself, not attacking people verbally.
But that's the reason for the podcast. It's not to attack the company that we work for or to the passengers. It's just just something for us to relieve a bit of stress and hopefully get some more people on the podcast like yourself.
Camaraderie.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Basically,
Sure. And understanding that you're not alone, which is why I wave at every bus that goes by. I don't know, Tony, I think you do.
I do as well, yeah.
Right.
I'll wave.
Some drivers might think
UPS
that's...
drivers. I'll just wave at anyone. It
doesn't matter to me. Okay. Imagine what you wave at. But the thing is, I understand, the understanding is that before we had radios, we would wave at different drivers as a way of
saying, are you okay?
That we're okay.
Yeah, we're good.
And I think it could go back to you're from England. It goes way back to the days of knights where the people in armor would wave because they couldn't see their faces and salute and say everything's fine, friend or foe.
Yeah.
So
that's when you started driving the buses was waving.
Yeah, we had a suit of armor.
What's the biggest change from when you started to now, or 10 years ago to now? What is the main...
Well, in the beginning, I've gone through three administrations. And first was a company, basic company, a manager that would run the whole show. His name was Frank Cook. Then came the region. And after the regional government took over, then came the city, and they took it over. So directions were changed several times with what I've seen. When I started here, there was probably more subsidies at the time, I guess. We seem to have more at our disposal, more drivers available. It wasn't uncommon to have 9 drivers on a night spare board on report.
Jesus.
Playing cards. It wasn't unusual. Yeah. I mean, but when we were there, we were there. And at that time, we had not just regular driving diesel, as we do now. We also had trolleys, and we had highway work.
See, that's something that I don't understand. Even people in England don't really understand the trolley system. There are certain places in north of England, Manchester and stuff, they still have trams, and they had trolley buses. But it's not in London, where I'm from, we didn't have the trolley buses. So that's something that I'm not
a good understanding of. So maybe you can give us a little insight into the difference between the trolley bus and just a normal, regular driving bus, a normal diesel bus or a gas-powered bus that you drive now.
Obviously, before I drove, you would observe what it was. What it was you know, you had your poles that would stick up to these wires, which held about 600 direct current voltage, and it would go through a series of switches and all that.
So they were electric powered, or they diesel? Yes, they were electric powered.
They were electric, direct current, not alternating, but direct current, 600 volt power. Jesus. In fact, if the wire would fall on top of the bus. If for some
your hair would stand on end.
Well, basically, we were warned if the wires ever came down, don't get off the bus.
Yeah. All right. The rubber on the tires protects
right.
you from the
but bike. If you don't know how to dismount, if your wire's on top of the bus, any wire on top of the bus, one or two of them, you're to show all care and caution. Don't step off. If you step off, you can end up fried.
Well, nice.
Yeah. So you would be responsible for your passengers. Yourself, whoever approaches the bus, you know, you would try to warn them off. Don't touch, you know, stay away. They showed us a panel in training on the side of the bus where the wire was sitting on top and one of the wires was dangling.
Yeah.
And as it dangled, it touched the side of the bus at times. It welded holes in the bus.
Jeez.
Yeah. So it was a very scary thing.
Is that one of the reasons why they got rid of it?
Well, it's possibly.
Or cost effective?
Well, cost effectiveness was one big issue. And, at that time, the date or early 90s when they got rid of them, there was cost factor of paying double for a trolley versus a regular diesel. There were cost factors in the hydro and all that
and
stuff.
And the maintenance.
Maintenance
the
was very, very big. Truck,
yeah.
They were very clean. They were very, I don't like using the word fast, but they were fast. They would respond well.
Environmentally, they were
great.
Better than the diesel buses that we have now.
Yeah, a lot of drivers hated them because of the switches, and they were more work that way. I always thought we should be paid more for driving them. But when we were trained the first day, we were told by the instructor, which I didn't feel too comfortable with. He was a really old instructor that said, I haven't touched one of these for 20 years. So we felt very confident that he knew what he was saying or telling us. But he was okay, I guess. Anyways, he said, when you drive trolley, you have to drive for people inside the bus as you do with your normal diesel. You have to drive outside the bus as you would with your normal diesel. The difference with trolley was you had to drive above the bus.
Yeah.
So you had three areas of concern. You had to be sure.
You have to make sure you're in the right lane.
Right,
the right
position.
Stuff like
right speed through a switch. We had select switches, power switches. It was almost like a train.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so you position yourself to turn down a certain road. You had to be in a certain angle. Power switch, like on Houston Street, we used to have the Barton and Cannon, one behind the other, and you had to have your poles either go out or in.
Oh, okay.
And by doing that, you put power on, power off.
Yeah. Oh, it's like complicated.
It can be.
See, I drive a bus with two pedals. Go and stop. Just go and stop. That's all you need.
Yeah. But to see how the communication between us as drivers and way maybe things are handled in another avenue, like as management, they have their responsibilities. We were turning off of King onto Houston Street where we had the Barton and Cannon at that time. So
where
the bingo hall has
been.
We would turn off of King at a select switch.
Oh, okay.
As we're turning, do people cross at the right time?
Of course they don't.
No, they cross any time. So we had to time it. Turn our bus, get through that, and on a select switch, there's two deads as well, because you have four sets of wires going there. So two deads, and you try not to have your power on going over that. You make a great big flare.
Oh, okay.
Right? Power.
Just get a shit out of it.
Right. So you can blow your pole, too. So as we're turning, we're trying to get these people move, because we got to arrange a turn here, and then walk right out in front of you. So this has gone on for years, this attitude of walking it when the light's red. So there was a lot that drivers didn't like about them. But they did have their advantages too. I think one of the biggest advantages, they broke down more often, you had more confidence.
as long as you broke down.
You
have to break down.
Oh, they were fun, and they were, it's whatever you made it to, right? You know?
But that's the whole point of this job. I get frustrated with this job a lot of the time.
Oh.
You know what, I'm a miserable fuck most of the time, right? Everyone knows that. I don't say much on the bus because I get the usual questions. Are you from Australia? No, I'm not. All right,
I get it all the time.
And there's a lot of drivers, not just myself, that don't. It sounds bad. Not that we don't want to interact with the passengers. It's because we don't have the time a lot of the time. If you drive Barton, Cannon, King Roots, college, sanatorium. You drive all these routes that are really busy with a lot of people most of the time,
yep.
day and night. You don't really have the time to answer 37 questions about which country right. you're from,
right.
where your mum's from, what accent you've
but
got.
But they think you're there for just
yeah, yeah, just for, sure. for one person
sure.
and to conversate, which we are in a way. We're there for everyone and we try to be pleasant right. and say thank you and please.
Right.
But is that the biggest, I'll find that the biggest difference between people when you first started, say in the late 80s, when you start early 80s,
yeah.
and then people that are starting now, like myself a couple of years ago, the people's attitudes towards bus drivers. Is that different? Is the people's attitudes towards you now different? Or your perception of their attitudes towards you now, is it different than it was when you first started, or is it
worse? I think the way it sits right now is the attitudes of the people, if they have changed, which they have altered a bit, is because of the environment we've been placed in and the environment they've been placed in. Not so much the people, yeah, they have their stresses, they have their problems.
Oh,
they're going to bring to that door of your bus. They have life, they live. Mm. What they're doing in their life is not your job.
No.
Okay? They don't try to do your job. They don't really care. They do care about you, but... it's more important than what's going on at home or what's going to happen at work.
But your perspective of the passengers, is your perception of them changed from when you first started? So when you're a raw recruit, been here a couple of years, is it changed drastically over the years towards people, or are you just the same Ken when you first started? Obviously, you've got older.
So have they changed, or have I changed?
Have you changed along with
adapted?
Yeah.
In some ways,
because obviously culture changes. Culture gets the kids get more. They seem to be more rude now because they're. No, it is. A lot of people don't conversate as much.
Right.
They don't
right.
sit down and have conversations like we are having now.
Right.
Too busy
right.
on their phone.
Yes.
You see them sitting on the bus at the back of their phone.
Yes.
They've got all their kids with them, and they're not talking to their kids. They're on their phone talking to their Facebook or Twitter or whatever fucking stupid app. Yeah. When I do it, I'll be granted. I do it. You do it.
Right.
Everyone does it. Everyone. Don't conversate like you did when you was growing up.
Right.
Like I
so,
did when I
like
was
you say, that the texting is affecting yeah. our ridership and the way they act. They might ring the bell late because they're texting. Yeah. People in general that have changed, I've tried to adapt to, because when I started, there was more working people class. I don't use the word class, but there was more working.
There's a lot of steel
jobs.
Workers and stuff. And
there was
towns,
more
thousands
right.
of people working.
The status, is that a right word? But the level of working people was higher then. Mm. Our city has changed from the ambitious city we were once called. Mm. As I said, yeah. my plant closed down.
Yeah.
One of many huge...
A lot of thousands of people lost their jobs.
Huge
of people lost
plants.
Their jobs, yeah.
Our routes have been changed because yeah. plants have shut down.
But now the okay. routes in this town seem to be medical background with all the Mac
right.
McMaster stuff opening right. up and PSWs and
right.
and a lot more computer fans. Actually.
Right.
I was reading in the Spectator recently about computer
yep.
fans moving into Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah.
There's still a low income town, still a low income city for the majority of the part.
What I have found is that with the people is that I try to adapt to whatever it is, but it really affects you when you've gone from people that ride the bus because they were going to work, school, work especially. And now they're just riding the bus around because they got nothing to do. And the environment has been created by this society of ours. I'm not even going to say Hamilton, but our society where...
it's not just in Hamilton, it's all over.
It's all over.
It's in London.
Right.
People are the same everywhere in
right.
the world. It's just a natural...
I mean, unemployment...
It's just the way the people have grown up.
Right.
Oh, is that? That's probably the wrong
right.
phrase. But the way that people evolve, maybe, I don't know,
yeah.
from 1980 to
right.
completely different society.
Right. Well, it's not
different.
Just Hamilton. I mean, you hear
it's everywhere.
You hear the unemployment figures from the States. You hear
oh,
the unemployment
Jesus.
Figures here in Canada.
Yeah.
So our ridership's changed. And you sometimes, even myself, will get the attitude, well, you know, you're just riding around for nothing. You got no destination.
No.
You're going to really? You're crowding my bus, you know? But our attitude is, we're getting paid a decent wage. We got a very, I feel, good job.
Oh, this job.
You can go anywhere you want with that, but we can create our own environment. I've always said we can. We can. We don't have control of it,
no,
totally.
But you can create.
But we can create a good environment.
When you're out there on your own in your bus, it's your office, basically. That's the way I look at it. It's my office.
Right.
I can be as rude Or as pleasant as I like. I know it sounds but harsh, you know what? To the extreme, I've used but that as drivers.
I've done that.
That are really rude, and I've done it myself.
Right?
Every driver hey, who has that it? I've known in my whole history.
If you haven't, you're phony.
If you haven't, you're a liar.
You're phony.
You have a row with a wife, you come to work, the kids are stressing you out, you've got bills to pay, you come to work in a bad mood.
You could have that cloud over your head like peanuts.
The first person gets on your bus is just an
asshole.
Says the wrong thing, and you go off on him.
Yep.
And then your day's ruined.
Downhill.
And it's the same for the people getting on your bus.
Sure, sure.
The only problem is that they see you once, maybe twice. They get on the bus in the morning, they get off. But you see 1,000 people, and you have to treat every person as though you're seeing them for the first time. Whether you've answered the same question, oh, do you go downtown?
Yes. They don't know that.
Downtown. They don't know the 4,000 people in front of them as us.
Said the same thing.
And this was one thing that I was taught when I started back in England.
That's a very important point.
Stuff. Everyone, you're meeting them for the first time. Whether you've answered that question 1,000 times or you've only answered it for that one person, makes no difference. You have to answer it the same as you would if you answered it for the first person.
That's true.
In a nice, cheery way. Me, personally, I'm not always a cheery guy.
Oh, hey.
You know that.
Yeah, well, we've got... I've had my sour faces too. Come on, we've all done that.
Like I said, I'm a bit of a miserable fuck, and I try and keep myself to myself. I try and drive my bus. I'll say thank you. I'll say please. But certain attitudes towards bus drivers, it's the same the world over. Same in London, the same in other municipalities, same in other cities in Canada, same in other countries.
We are a figure of authority in one sense. How many cars have you seen pull out of a driveway or a shopping mall, and you look at our bus and look at us, and all of a sudden you reach for the seatbelt?
You see that.
We're a symbol of authority. You can abuse it, or you can work with the people with it. Hopefully they show you respect for that. Not always the case.
And to be honest, there is drivers out there that are very good. Like you said,
there's
a bunch out there that are pleasant all the time.
Excellent.
And there's other guys like me that are indifferent sometimes and they're pleasant sometimes. But that's just stress of life and being a family. That's just the way it is. But then there's other guys and girls that are just complete arseholes from the minute one, right, until the minute they... And these guys are different outside of
it. And they bring
a bad attitude towards
their whole career.
Yeah.
Their whole career, right? Oh, to the day they retire.
These passengers are all the same.
So the day they retire, they're going to carry that.
Maybe you should calm down a little bit. Maybe.
Now, to show
maybe
you how
you're so aggressive about people coming on with coffee and shit like you said before.
Some drivers will think that, what's Ken talking about or Tony? But what are we talking about when you create your own environment? When I started here, we had high floor buses only. What's a low floor? I mean, I had to have that explained what an ELF bus is, accessible low floor. I had no idea what that was when I was on a committee and they told me about it. What's that? We always had high floor. So with a high floor, we always had a seat right beside us. There was no wheel well there that seats are up higher above the wheels.
Yeah.
So you had seats right beside you. What irked most of us back then was when you wanted to have a sandwich or something, at the end of the line,
somebody
be there.
Yeah, that drives me.
I've even asked my wife, you know, that really bothers me when someone's sitting there and staring at me. She said, I've done that. They're not trying to be rude.
No, they're just...
It's just they think you're part of the bus.
Yeah.
So how do you create your environment? When someone got on maybe the second stop, or if I was suspicious they were going to stay on before the end of the line.
Because we have, see in England, everyone gets off at the end of the line.
Yeah, not here, obviously.
Over here, we have ride-throughs, we have interline routes and stuff like that. So people ride through the end
of the line. It should be here, but we never had them.
Like when you're finished downtown and you're going back to the garage.
Right.
I've taken people 100 times back to the Upper James.
Right.
Back to the near the garage because
and
because that's part of our manual of operations.
They like that. Yeah, they like
and
that.
And some people just like it because they just like riding on the bus and they're like,
so, to create your...
There's got to be better things to do than ride around on a bus.
You think.
And I've got
but you're very entertaining, Tony.
Yeah, really? Maybe. It's the accent.
They're just drawn to you.
They're just drawn to the accent and the good looks and charm.
I've been thinking of making baseball cards up for all the drivers.
Yeah,
so
that would be actually...
We want your stats, eh?
Yeah, most of them will be over 200.
Most. How many accidents have you had? Okay. So anyways, to create this environment with a person that would ride around me and I want to have my sandwich and it really puts me out and I'm upset with this and disgruntled.
Yeah, but see, that pisses you off. And then you
pisses you
off. For,
as
for
they're getting
the
on,
the
you know what they're going to do. They're going to ride around. They got on the second stop before the line. They're going to ride around. I'm very... drivers have done all sorts of stuff, turn the heat up in the summer to get them off, you know. Yeah. So what I would do,
just get off the bus, just
instead of smiling like I usually would or greet them, I would give them a sour puss look. Cold shoulder. And as they came up the stairs, seeing me like,
I just want to.
They went to the back.
Yeah.
They didn't sit beside me. I controlled my environment on the bus. I created my environment so that person wasn't sitting beside me while I had my sandwich.
We don't have that on the buses now because of the real world.
Right, that's different. But I'm just drawing the attention that you can create the attitude.
Yeah.
And I know you don't have total control of it.
Right.
Try when you...
No, if someone's an arsehole and they get on your bus,
they're going to be that.
They're going to be an arsehole.
Oh, I get it too.
Just because they're an idiot.
Yeah.
That's not your fault.
Let them go.
It doesn't matter how pleasant you are, how rude you are to
Let them go. Get them by you. Don't talk to them.
As long as you don't react to something.
Right, say something quick to them.
No, if they swear at you, then I'll ask them to get off and stuff like that. Because obviously
you have to.
We have the zero tolerance. And if you don't, and if people don't, and if people get away with it, then they say, oh, well, it's not really a zero tolerance. It's not really something that we have to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it is. Because there's kids on the bus. I mean, I swear a lot. I've sworn 400 times on this podcast already. I've been doing it 20 minutes. It's fucking ridiculous. But on the bus,
we'll keep them on.
Yeah. I try and keep my swearing numb to nil.
Yeah.
Especially if there's kids on the bus. I have young kids.
Well, your environment has to be pleasant.
Swearing and all this motherfucker.
Right. Well, the company wants you to have a good environment on the bus.
You're supposed to be free from violence and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not bashing the company, but what they do with people who get thrown off the bus is ridiculous, because I've had it a couple of times and they've actually put the guy on the bus behind. Which okay, you got to serve the passengers, but him being an idiot or her being an idiot should be reason for you to say, well, you know what, you're not catching the bus.
I think this is a human rights thing that kicks into play.
Yeah,
how far do you go with that?
Yeah.
You know what bugs me is when they call a criminal a gentleman. On the news or a police put a description. Or say something on the newscast where, oh, this gentleman committed a murder. Gentleman?
Yeah, he's not much of a gentleman if he's killing people.
He's not a gentleman.
I felt like killing people, in all fairness. But I don't go around killing people.
That's society doing that.
Yeah.
That's society, and the company's following
suit. That's just the frustration part of it.
Right,
that's what a lot of people, and that's part of the reason for the podcast, is it's not to bash the companies we work for, like I said. It's not to bash the people to get on our bus or other drivers. Whether you like them or dislike them, you can't like everyone in the world. Right? I don't like certain drivers. Certain drivers don't like me. You have issues with certain drivers.
Everyone does,
right? Personalities clash.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the point of the podcast is, and the point of our Facebook page, which is Transit Sense, by the way, it's just to create some camaraderie.
Right.
Like you said earlier, some awareness to what drivers go through.
That you're not
alone. Passengers have to go through as well. It's not just for the drivers.
Oh, the passengers go through
a bunch of shit with bad schedules, bad weather, bad buses,
huge
unsanitary buses, crappy drivers sometimes, crappy other people on the bus that are rude to
passengers. Try riding the bus.
Yeah, ride the bus.
Not as a driver.
I ride the bus to work
all
the time, and I ride the bus home with Ken most of the time when we get like the shuttle bus home and stuff, and we have these discussions, and why we're trying to put it down on iTunes and stuff. But it's so people that can, where am I going with this? I've lost my train of thought, Kendall. I'm talking so much.
We go home on the shuttle and discuss things.
Yeah, so we discuss things, and it's so people are aware of what we have to put up with.
Right.
Basically, we're not all arseholes. You just drive the bus. Yeah, we do drive the bus, but we have to be a social worker, a missing persons liaison officer, a police officer, a transit cop.
Yeah.
We have to do all this stuff as well as drive the bus and issue tickets. And
I told the McMaster
stupid people.
I told a McMaster student once to impress this McMaster student, because they sometimes I don't think they all look down on us as just a driver, but some have their degrees and all that. And I said, I turned in humor and said to this one friendly McMaster student, you know, we have 3 degrees driving, operating bus. Shocked. 3 degrees. I said, yeah. Criminology, sociology, and psychology.
Yeah, you have to have all three.
It's a school of experience. The school of experience.
You can't beat life experience. You can be smart and you can get it from a book like a lot of these Mac students are.
Right.
But some of them can't even open the bike rack. They can't even use a bike rack on the front of the bus. They're smart people. IQs have been twice above me. I'm an idiot, right? I drive a bus for a living. I'm not a smart guy. I never went to university.
Well, this is the perception.
I've got good life experience.
Right.
I've been working since I was 13.
I had
been working for a long time.
Right.
We've got life experience. We don't read it out of a textbook.
No.
And then turn into a bus driver. Anyone can drive a bus.
They write books about us.
Yeah, they write books about how bad the bus drivers are. Like that idiot in the Spectator a few months ago about old people, they should go to a toilet on their own time and they should eat on their own.
Such ignorance.
Yeah, just ignorance.
That's ignorance.
And that's from a smart guy.
Right.
Allegedly smart guy. Right. Book smart, not life smart.
Good point, Tony, yeah.
You know what I mean? So
I had a young guy yesterday.
There is some smart drivers out there.
Oh, yeah.
I know a couple of inspectors back home with IQs in the stupid numbers, degrees, and can talk four languages and shit like this.
We had a guy here that when I started, it was his name was Max Alfers. He's long passed now, but long retired and passed away. But he, like yourself, he took offense of someone that would call him a DP. Why don't you go home?
Oh, yeah,
he was from Finland.
Yeah, about that bunch. Yeah,
he was from Finland. And he was a very proud man, justly so.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a very dignified person. He had a lot of talents. He came in second in Ontario for archery. Oh, the man was very athletic. He was tall, good looking.
Yeah, you can't bring your crossbow to work.
He probably wanted to. But he took offense of that. And he went to McMaster and got a degree in linguistics.
I think I've heard this.
He used to correct people. From that day on, that came on his bus, he would correct them. He corrected me about saying the wrong
using it in
collection
wrong
of money
whatever,
for the ticket. You know, that's not 5 cents or a nickel, whatever it was. The Americans say this, we say that. He was on the ball, but everything you said, people driving.
That's just some frustration.
That was, but it shows that we're not
smart
stupid.
Enough, I'd do that, but I'm not smart enough.
But we are.
But I get it a lot, and I'm not the only one that get. Oh, you fuck off back to England or Australia? Why don't you fuck off back to Australia? I have that quite a lot. I'm not from Australia, you dumbass. I don't know. Get a geography fucking map or atlas or something.
Like, grow up, travel.
Yeah, travel.
Travel a little bit.
Travel around the world instead of living just in the bubble.
As a woman said on, I think it was that one movie. With a horse in Australia. Forget what it's called.
Oh, Nicole Kidman or whatever.
Yeah, I forget what it's called. Cruise, anyways, the bar girl says, broaden your mind, have another beer. really? So these people should travel, see what's out there in the world, and then they start understanding.
For me, it's frustration. Oh, yeah, you're taking a good Canadian's job. But yeah, but...
That's so wrong.
I went through an application stage of, like, there was 1,000 applicants.
You've earned it.
And I was in the top 1%.
You earned it, yeah. Knowing your background.
I think I've earned the
right
to drive a bus and to ask you to pay a fare.
What's their background? What's your background? Your background's in the industry.
If you want to apply for the job, and I've told everyone, if you want to apply for the job, next time it comes out, send your resume in, see how far you get. If you get to be a bus driver, then you might understand.
And just to throw something in here, I've been a little bit irritating, but I've often said to people, we're not bus drivers. What are you talking about? No. A mechanic. In our company, could be a bus driver.
Yeah,
we're bus operators.
Yeah, anyone can drive a bus.
Anyone can drive a bus.
Anyone
I mean, I've heard from one of my mentees that some of the higher ups think that they can train any monkey to drive a bus. Well, that's a sad attitude.
Yeah,
let's say they say that. I don't know, but I've been hearing that. But then that's only half the job, isn't it?
It's not even half the job.
Can you train the monkey to deal with the people?
Yeah, it's not even half a job, to be honest. So
driving
the bus is easy. Steering wheel attendants, we call them.
Right. And experience takes
some guys in London, they don't collect money, don't need to collect fares, they have to issue, we don't have a transfer system in London, we don't have none of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I left there 3 years ago, so I don't know what it's like now. I've only been back once and I've never really used the bus. But it's completely different over here. You have to issue transfers, we have to check money and fare boxes. We don't touch money. I don't like touching my people's money. I don't like issuing transfers. I know it sounds stupid. I've said this from day one. There's a lot. I mean, we're going to come to this in other podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm going to turn my phone down.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to come to this in other podcasts, hopefully, later down the road with the fare structure and scheduling structure.
Sure.
But it's just something that we can touch on now is that the transfer system's stupid.
I think you'll see changes coming up.
I mean, I think
we're in the presto stage. Such as it is, but we're in the presto stage it's okay.
Yeah.
It works.
It could be a lot better.
I think what frustrates us with presto is the issuing of the transfers. I was told by someone in the government sources that presto really wasn't designed for transfers. It was designed for tickets.
It's designed for the go bus. That's
right.
It's designed for the go bus.
Which is why it's so slow in issuing your transfers, which does frustrate us and the public too.
Oh, yeah. And it's the fact that the machines are... not the greatest machines.
Plastic is cheap.
They're cheap. And I know we've had some issues with people banging on them and not using them, probably getting frustrated with them. It's because they're old. They're an old system. The system that they had in, I think it was Germany or France, they've had the system like for years. We've had it in London, it's called the Oyster system. Hong Kong, have had it for 25 years, maybe. It's called the Octopus system. You can use it to buy groceries. It's ridiculous. Like, and that's what they tried to do in London. You can use like a smart card, like a bank card, and it's got an Oyster card on it.
Right.
Just tap it on the machine when you
end up. I think it's because, again, the North American society is so behind. They don't want to invest in transit.
Yeah, because Europe's a lot smaller than Canada, let's be honest. I mean, England's the size of the state of Florida. So you can see how small Europe is. But England in particular. Yeah. There's a lot of people living in London. But there's a lot of people. The transit system we have in Hamilton is really good.
It can be better.
Compared to, if your comparison to, say, TTC, it's not as good as the TTC in Toronto.
Right.
But it's better than Mississauga. It's better than Niagara Falls for dead sir. It's better than most of the other cities and towns around, apart from the TTC. And maybe Ottawa. Ottawa, is it Ozpro or Ottawa Transit? They're at the top. I've been to Ottawa, and they have some wicked buses.
Transport. Well, that's a federal government.
Yeah, they have some great buses. They have the newest... equipment.
See, Ottawa's in the federal government area where they look after their system. Well, Toronto's in the provincial government, they look after their city.
But we're a big city.
We are. Yeah.
Hamilton's a big city.
And a lot of heritage.
I think the difference is the more Hamilton grows, with the computers, like I said before, and with the companies coming in, and more international students. I mean, my wife is an international student. That's how we got into the country. So, yes, I am an immigrant, by the way.
We were founded by England.
Yeah. So you can't kick me out, right? So no,
the British are coming.
Yeah, the British are coming. I hate you, brother. Yeah, so there's a lot more international students. Yeah, so hopefully the transit will pick up. Hopefully the government and even private companies, Metrolinx and federal companies,
but you know
will
what?
Put in some money. But if they do that, they have to look. From start from scratch with scheduling and stuff like that. Again, we're not going to get into it on this podcast.
Have a lot of input into transit. Yeah. No, it's not just a job. Yeah. It is a job. It's a good, like we went through that before, but it's also an investment that we can create our value.
We have to create your value.
We have to create our value, our worth.
Yeah.
For the person that says, well, you've got a contract coming up. You're going to go on strike, right? No, we don't want to go on strike. Okay. Well.
Oh, you want a pay raise?
Well, you want a pay raise. Well, I don't get to work on time because you guys, and you don't make the connections for me, and I have to wait an hour before I get home, just wasted time because of you guys. Well, that's when we have to say, look, we understand that. That's why we need your help. We need you to call your counselor. You must call your counselor, and you must say your counselor.
That's the only way things are going to change.
We want you to invest in this system. The
ATU 107, our local, very good union. Mm-hmm. The president's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have much dealings with him, but the representative, Eric's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. Dealt with him when I was on work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy. They have a lot of input. Yeah. The union does have a lot of input. Sure. It's more sway than it does back in England. Basically, all they do at home is go on strike. That's the underground dotted tubes. Oh, we just go on strike for more money or whatever. That's pretty much all they do. But over here, they seem to have more input into scheduling. And I've filled in a bunch of those forms that Bud put out regarding what keys, what paddles and stuff were not good. I filled out a bunch.
And they want to know.
Yeah, and they want to know this. I'm assuming they've done something with it and went to management with it. I don't really know. I'm not in the union. Like,
they come up against a wall.
But you come up against a brick wall, and it's not our management. I don't think it's the HSR.
No.
I don't think it's Chris, and I don't think it's Keith, one of those inspectors, because they all know the problems.
They know transit. They know what the problems are.
When you get to city council, even some of the city councillors know what we have to go through and know that the schedule sucks, but they come up to barricades with the residents, with people who have to ride on the bus, with other councillors, because they want more investment, but they don't want to pay for it, if that makes sense.
It sounds stupid. Right.
Well, we want a better service. We want a better service, but we don't want to pay for it.
I saw that firsthand.
You can't have a better service unless you fucking pay for it. I mean, you have to spend some cash to get a better service out.
I met with our manager, and I asked for the meeting because I wanted to review a driver's, whatever they call it, thing regarding your timing, and I can't think of the words right now. But anyways, I was reviewing what the planning department had, assessment of myself and my driving on a certain route. And before I got in there to sit with our manager, I had to wait because one of the counselors was in there with our scheduling manager and our manager. When I went in there, the manager said to me, I just met with so-and-so counselor and he wants me to provide better service into this plaza for the elderly, whatever. Yeah. And I said, as a manager, that's going to cost you more money. Hmm. The counselor said, why?
We'll just take it from Peter to, we'll rob Peter to pay Paul.
Just,
that's basically
just do it.
What I do. Yeah.
But the manager says, no, not just we have to put more money into it. So the manager is up against that wall where he's hired to stay within a certain bracket. Hmm. You stay within this figure. If you don't, we'll get somebody else.
Yeah, we get someone who can stay within that figure.
All right. And he's done that very well in that aspect.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have to counsel to broaden that bracket out.
Yeah, you either got to broaden the bracket out to make us have more money, or you've got things like the podcast here and the websites and just interaction with the passengers. Like that thing downtown with the anti-bullying.
Right.
I was speaking to Jason Duckworth.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, hello. He's a great driver. Been here a while.
Yes, he is. I really love him.
Issue. Yeah, he's a lovely guy.
Yep.
Apparently some lady was moaning at him a while. The anti-bullying campaign has got pink t-shirts because that's the breast cancer awareness. And he had to give a whole spiel about what, and she was indignant about why they're handing out pink. It's an anti-bullying campaign. I mean, this is sort of people that we have to go up with. And this is sort of people that the counsellors have to go up with.
Again, it's a case of
we're doing something good for the community. The union's trying to do something good for the bullied kids and stuff and to help them have a voice. And then you have to come up with.
So they're doing a good job that way to create that worth.
Like I said, we're not just bus drivers.
No.
Some people try and do other avenues. Like me and you are doing this. We're discussing this.
Yep.
Sheldon and Jason and a bunch of others in the union and Bard, Dylan.
Excellent.
And the rest of them. Great.
Excellent.
Absolutely. It was in the Spectator.
We all play a part.
Some press.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. That's what you need. I've had kids that have been picked on at school. I know kids that in my past when I was a kid that got picked on at school. So it's a worthwhile cause.
Mm-hmm.
For people just to come up and dismiss it because I was the same pink that you so does it matter? It could be a rainbow coloured for the gay and transgender and lesbian alliance. I don't give a fuck what colour it is. It's a good cause. Just support a good cause I don't support.
Right.
That's where we got to get off the community.
Right. So the councillor, to convince a councillor that you need more infrastructure money, he's going to look at votes before he looks at common sense.
Yeah.
Or she.
Yeah.
Right?
If I ask people for more money, oh shit, I'm not going to get any votes.
Where's the most votes in cars?
Yeah.
Not riding the bus.
No.
So we really have to work at creating our worth. Mm. Why is the bus worth it? Why is the driver worth it? Even the people that ride the bus can't understand why you're worth it. Not all of them. Some have a little understanding.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have to illustrate that by our concern about how the system can be better. So we have to convince...
I'll try and explain to people that some of the schedules do suck.
I see it every time I'm out there.
We have to drive these routes.
Right.
We know they suck.
I do one right now where I do Stony Creek and I go around at night at 10 o'clock. We're doubling up on two different ends of the line.
Yeah.
And I'm missing a connection on Barton. Now, I'm not going to blame the Barton driver because their time are tight.
Their time's tight too. As well.
Right. So I said, well, what's the solution? Well, I came up with an idea. I tried to present it to supervision last night, but they were nowhere to be found. So I got to do it again. I got to talk to somebody. Why are we sitting at Eastgate? When we can take off a minute or two earlier and get to Bell Manor in time to make that connection.
I know why they do it, because you're waiting for connections with a King bus. Because I use them to take out home. But if the King's already there...
If it's in, go.
It's a 20-minute service. So you're not going to wait 20 minutes for the next one. The next one, I'm going to have to wait.
So I'm giving the company notice that I'll be leaving Eastgate a little earlier when I see that King coming in.
Because that's what the schedule demands.
Right. I want to get that connection with the King.
That makes sense on paper. You're leaving. Oh, you're hot. What are you leaving early?
Right.
For?
Or on the GPS. Demands. GPS says, hey, well, you're leaving early.
I know that this route you need to leave 2 minutes. I'll do a Delaware bus and Imperial Governors in Dundas.
Right.
And I know for a fact... If I leave Peer and Governors on time, I'm 5 minutes early by the time I get to the bottom of the street.
Right.
So my next time point, I'm 5 minutes early. So I leave 5 minutes late.
Yeah.
To the schedule. Why are you leaving 5 minutes late? That's fucking stupid. Yeah, but I know. I'm the driver. I've drove it for enough time now. Drove it for 2 boards or 2.5 boards. I know what I'm doing. I leave by the time I get to that point where the first person gets on. No one ever gets on in between there.
Right.
Between the end of the line and the first time point.
So you don't have a high... Ridership.
I'm going to get there. I know my ridership. I know what people are having chance.
Right.
So why don't you listen to us? Why don't you change the schedule? I don't need... So give me extra time now. I don't need 15 minutes when I get to Stony Creek. They I need less listen. Time now. I need more time now.
They used to listen to us, Tony. This is another thing going back to when I started. They used to listen to us more about what, how to adjust a certain route. They used to come out with pen and paper and check everything. Aspects of the traffic, passenger load, where they get on and off, and all that stuff. They do very little of that now. This run I'm doing tonight, to give you an idea, they let them know how you create your worth. When I do that circle around, do both ends of the line. There's no time to make that connection at Barton. I'm not going to ask that Barton bus to hold, because that's going to stress that driver out. They've got other things to make downtown.
Well, there's only two buses out there.
Right. So as I'm picking up the majority of my people on that circle of life, they don't give you time. Now, I go the next route over to the Stony Creek local, which goes through the village.
Yeah.
Nobody's there.
And it takes, what is it? That's a 12-minute run, and you can probably do 8 minutes.
I got 6 minutes to burn.
Yeah,
I can drag, and I'll still have...
One, that's another one where you can leave King and outside the church there 10 minutes late.
Why is that scheduled that way?
Scheduling. It's just bad scheduling.
So I don't even ask them to change that. But I am going to say, when I'm at Eastgate and that King rolls in there, I'm going to go. Because I'm going to commit to those people that are going home from work at night to get their Barton bus.
Well, I used to drive to the last Barton bus, and that 10-20 trip when you leave the loop there, packed. Standing room only, packed.
Yeah.
And I used to wait an extra couple of minutes for the Stony Creek bus, because I know there was a bunch of people that needed that bus.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I have to wait half hour for the next one.
What's the sense of that? How would they feel about you?
Standing minus 20, fucking freezing your nuts off.
And I talk to these people that are missing that connection, and I'm telling them, I'm going to help them. I'm going to go to management and try to get this resolved. And they see the sincerity in me, and they're on my side that way. That's creating your worth.
Yeah.
Okay?
Even if one person says, oh, thank you, driver.
Right.
You've created your worth with that one person.
Right.
They go and tell their mates, you know, that guy with the glasses and the moustache, the old fellow, he's a nice dude. He's not about the young English.
He goes on a lot.
He goes and talks about the fox. But he's a nice dude. He got me to my bus on time. Yeah. He left a couple of minutes early and explained to me why I had to leave.
And this old guy that wanted to catch us that Barton that night, last night, he explained to me, it's not just the Barton. He connects with a Mohawk, too.
Yeah.
If he has to run up to Eastgate to connect with the King to catch some Mohawk, he says, I'll miss it sometimes.
Yeah.
What's he doing? Why would you do that to a low-paying worker?
See, we don't have that issue at home, like in London. They stopped to that. We had the schedules like they did now. It's going to be at this bus stop at Oxford Street, Oxford Circus at 9:04 on the dot.
Right.
It's going to be a Marble Arch by 9:10. We don't have those schedules. It's like the bus will be every 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The only buses that have a proper schedule are like the night buses and the first couple of buses leaving the garage in the morning, mm-hmm. because they have a set schedule. You have to be at this point at such and such, because they know people getting the trains at work and shit like that. But we don't have connections. We don't have none of that connections. See, because the buses... 7,000 buses.
Yeah, different setup there.
Different setup completely.
When I started here, in the manual of operations, I mean... This is the new one, but the old one, they used to say in there that we were to wait for a connection if the bus was 2 blocks away.
Yeah, I've seen that, and I'll do that.
Two blocks away.
It don't matter how late I am. I don't care what.
Now, not every driver feels that way.
I'm an inch,
right, but that was the old understanding.
Right.
You know, because it's obvious, there's my bus, I want to connect with it, and there it goes. Like, what's with that? Okay? But with our schedules being so tight, like that Barton bus, I understand. They haven't got much weather. They got 23 minutes at night to get downtown or something. It's terrible.
Yeah, I think they've upped it.
They got a little
I know after like 10:30, you lose like 12 minutes running time.
It's something, they don't have much.
Yeah, you go for, I think it's like 26 minutes or 36 minutes, something up to 32 minutes.
Right, and with the characters...
You go from like 46 minutes to 30.
Who doesn't know the Barton bus? With the characters they carry.
Jesus Christ, it's packed.
How can
you? You do it on a Friday night, it's packed.
How can you do it?
You can't.
Right?
And all the construction and stuff, you can't do it.
So.
But we're going to get onto the scheduling in another podcast.
That's fine. Definitely. Yeah. But creating your worth is important. It really is. And for those that don't understand that, it's not your father's union anymore.
Yeah.
Okay? We're not going to be shaking our fists with pickets and saying we're going to get what we deserve. Well, you will. You might be out.
Yeah, you might be out.
It's just the way it is in our society.
You're 27 kids and my 10. Yes. I can't be out.
Just another side that people may not understand. Yeah. I just thought maybe that we should bring it up.
And we're going to bring up in the next podcast the scheduling. I want to discuss the scheduling. I'd like to get some more drivers. So anyone,
yes,
drivers listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
If you can email us at, where is it? I've got it written down here. transit.sense1@gmail.com. So it's transit.sense1@gmail.com. And we've also got a new Facebook page that we just created just before the podcast this morning. And that's a Transit Sense Facebook page. So you can check that out as well. If you've got anything you want to email us, discuss with myself or Ken or anyone, go to the Facebook page. There's always a bunch of good people on there. Not all of them.
No, they're disgruntled guys.
They're all good guys. They're disgruntled drivers like the rest of us. But no, they're good guys. We all love our job. I know we moan about it, but we do love our job. So check out the Facebook page. Check out the transit.sense1@gmail.com. Hopefully we're going to get some more podcasts done pretty soon with myself and Ken. Also, there's a couple of other transit operations pages on Facebook that I've joined recently, and they're really good. Transit Operators Worldwide is one, and The Bus Lounge, that's another one. They're very good. They post some funny shit on there. They post some good pictures. They also have some good discussions, same as the Transit Sense page that we have. But go to our one first, all right? Make sure you go to Transit Sense Facebook page first before you try the others. All right, because we're the best.
Of course we are.
Ken, thanks for coming.
No problem.
Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yes.
We're going to get this again at some point. Yeah. And like I said, contact us. So always drive safe and stay safe.